Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. If this is your very first time tuning in, I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hopps. Our vision here is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture. Today is a special segment of the Voice of Destiny Show called Couples for Destiny. This is a time where we empower you with the kingdom-centric tools to practice oneness in your marriage and experience the great redemptive benefit of oneness to God's call to manifest in the life of a man and a woman that have committed themselves to holy matrimony and covenant marriage. And my co-host today is Juanita Harris, the life coach all the way from Springfield, Ohio, who has a great wisdom in her heart to help couples understand God's purposes, God's plans, and God's grace for marriage. And Juanita, welcome back to the show, and thank you for bringing the insights that God has given you over the years through your marriage and through your time living in God's Word to help individuals to understand how to put the Word of God to work. And so we've been having a conversation about strategies to protect your marriage, and you gave us some really good insights. Would you do us a great favor and remind us of the great points that we've covered before we begin to build on this conversation to help couples to understand this wisdom God has given to the two of us, meaning husbands and wives, to be one?
Yes, I would be glad to reiterate those things that we talked about that will help you fight for your marriage and your oneness. Number one, we said remember the characteristics of your spouse that attracted you to them in the first place. And know that it wasn't just a physical or a natural thing, but, you know, there was something in their character that attracted you. That's something you can hold on to. As we grow older, we don't look the same as we did when we were 18 and 19. So, you know, if that's the attraction and you don't build a relationship based on your character and his character, then things are going to start looking kind of shaky when you are no longer that spry young 18-year-old. And then we said, number two, take your spouse, tell your spouse you love them and appreciate them often. And Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. And we should just remember that we love this person that we marry. And we don't have to wait for special occasions to tell them that we love them. We need to put love dollars in our account as much as we can so that when time to subtract those love dollars.
Trying to make those withdrawals.
Yes, we want to make those withdrawals that have in the account. And thirdly, we said touch your spouse. You know, we all are beings that touch. Even science says that humans need touch, and we have to be touched. And this covenant relationship you have with your spouse is one where you're free to touch. And
it's lawful.
You touch in more than one way. It won't just be a sexual touch, but it will be an intimate touch. And you will be able to caress each other and hold hands and kiss and let each other know that this is the one person in my life and I can be close to them like I'm not close to anyone else. And number four, we talk about laugh with your spouse. Don't laugh at your spouse, but laugh with your spouse. We shouldn't have our humor at our spouse's expense. And if it's a sensitive thing that that your spouse experiences, that's not a time to make a joke. Maybe at some later time when there's not a pain involved, then you both can reflect on the humor in our human frailty. But to laugh at your spouse or to make fun of your spouse is not a good way to build a oneness in your relationship. And number five, set goals. Really set goals. Don't just, you know, say one day we're going to do this. But, you know, just really sit down together and determine what you want to do in the next 1 year, 3 year, 5 years, individually and as a unit. What do you want to do? What plans do you have for the future? Do you both plan to fund your children's education? Money is a very important goal-setting area. And also, Dr. Daniel mentioned our relationships, even having goals, set goals in our relationship and how we want our relationship to mature and go forward. And with that, we're going to finish up with a couple of things. Be your spouse's biggest cheerleader and encourager. And no matter how risky their dream or their vision might be, if you can buy into it, and sometimes even if you don't buy into it, still be an encourager. Check your own emotions. Be aware of what's really going on with you. Are you being fearful? Are you being proud? You don't want to step back and not have as many things or have the really nice car so that your spouse can go to school or get in a job and start at the bottom. You know, what are your real feelings? But we shouldn't hinder each other's dreams and ambitions. And if your wife becomes the manager and you are not, then encourage her. She has enough grief at work. She doesn't need grief when she comes home. Don't be jealous of her promotion. And when she's promoted, the family's promoted.
Yep.
So encourage her.
So let's take a break here and come back, Juanita, and talk about some practical techniques, because a lot of times if we grew up in an environment, our family of origin, there wasn't this practice of investing in the other's blessing and the other's prosperity. We may not know how to apply that into our marriage relationship. You know, we may be highly unskilled in the crab technology of pulling down, but the technology of lifting the other up, inspiring the other, is something sometimes may not be second nature to one or both of the partners in the marriage. And so let's get some wisdom when we come back from the Cessia break about how to be your mate's cheerleader. Praise God.
If you're enjoying this prophetic and provocative conversation, give thanks with me for our monthly voice partners who help us to carry the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture to our generation. You too can become a distinguished monthly voice partner with a partnership gift of $15 to $45 a month. Our partners receive a monthly voice package that empowers them to be, do, and have everything God has destined for them. You too can become a monthly voice partner. Just go to the partners page at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And register today as a monthly voice partner to keep the Voice of Destiny show in your community.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to a special segment of the Voice of Destiny show called Couples for Destiny. We want to inspire you to be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you in your marriage. And one of the most important things that we realize that marriage is a great gift that God gives a man and a woman, but with that gift, we must begin to be aware of important responsibilities that we have in that state of oneness that marriage represents. And we've been talking about some incredible skills to protect that oneness, and we were discussing the importance of being your mate's cheerleader and celebrating them, celebrating the fact that their names are spelled M-I-N-E, minds, you know. And this makes a difference, you know, when a husband, you know, is big and muscular and bold as that man is, the power of that woman cheerleading him on, has so much dominating power over him. So you, everybody in the world can be celebrating you, but if your woman is not in your corner, she's not celebrating you, it reduces you to virtually nothing. And the same case with a woman, you know, she desires her husband to affirm and to value and to celebrate her virtue like the woman in Proverbs 31 for her strengths and what she brings to the table. This gives each the substance in their relational bank account to do almost anything, to do the impossible by the grace of God, because they know that person has them in their has their back in their corner. So give us some strategies, Juanita, how we can do that. Because as I said, I've ran into couples where you have partners in the marriage that did not know how to do what seems to be fundamental or basic to a relationship, to cheer the other person on, to celebrate the good of the person because of where they are or their family of origin, not being having that practice. So what are some of the practical things that one should be mindful of exercising in this area of cheerleading?
Well, for one thing, from personal experience, don't project your own fears on the other person. If you're fearful about how much money they're putting into their project, or if you're fearful about the profession they have chosen, if it's a bit dangerous or if it takes them away, then those are things that, you know, you have to come to grips with for yourself about how you're going to handle that and not project those fears onto your spouse by saying, "Oh, are you going out again? Are you going to be gone again?" If prior to your marriage you knew that your spouse was a musician, and you know, and if they make it big, then they go on tours and all this great stuff. Sounds like
and if they
before,
and if they don't, they're at home more than you want them to be.
Yes, and you know, there are trade offs, and you have to figure out is this the person that I want to be married to, and that should be thought of before you get married.
Yeah.
You know, if the person makes it big, am I going to be able to either go with them, or you know, how are we going to work this out? You know, if I envision a family where he comes home every evening at 5 o'clock, that's unrealistic if he has a job as a truck driver. You know, that's unrealistic. So, you know, we have to have realistic thoughts about what does this look like. If you have a wife or your wife-to-be is a college student and wants to go to college and wants to become a doc, then that requires a lot of time and effort and sacrifices. Is that what you're willing to do? Are you willing to give up some hot meals or a clean house so that, you know, she can study and she can be in school and she can do an internship? Are you willing to make that sacrifice? And those are things that need to be thought through before, hopefully before you get married, and if it happens after you get married. Like myself, I didn't go back to school until my kids were teenagers, and, you know, we'd been married at least 20 years, and I went back to school, and things had to change in our household. But my husband had to come on board with it, you know, for me to go to school all day and work part-time, and, you know, I came home and said, "I'm tired."
Well,
so
I think
had to
one
pick
thing
up some of the slack.
Well, one thing I think is required, I think one thing that's required to be your mate's cheerleader, surprising enough, is, first of all, laying a foundation of self-love, because your ability to love and to celebrate your mate is capped off by your capacity to love yourself. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew 12:31. The second commandment is this: love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no commandment greater than these, you know. So this ability to love yourself determines to what measure that you can celebrate. The ability to have positive self-talk about yourself will determine how much you can be celebrated of your mate. And so these are issues that you cannot coexist with anymore. The self-limiting thoughts, you know, the self-esteem, the low self-esteem, you need to repair those things, not just because of yourself, because it caps or capacity on how much you can love the other. And if you don't love self, you're not going to really love your neighbor with the God kind of love. Maybe with the sensual, carnal, phileo love, you'll maybe love them. But the God kind of love, the kind of love that really counts, you must love yourself first and be a cheerleader to yourself. And then you're in a position to have a foundation to elevate the self, this person greater than yourself, to honor them as though they're greater than you, to celebrate the progressions. Because, again, when in our marriage, it's an environment that forces growth. So who we are when we first get married, we don't actually stay those people. We grow into different kinds of people over time. And we have to learn to love that person, ourselves and that person, that our mate becomes in the growing process, which I think a lot of marriages, people get derailed because they don't know how to love their self sufficient enough where they can actually love their mate to the next level that God's called them to.
Right, exactly. And one of the things I've thought about you were saying that is that, you know, we're not perfect. And sometimes we look at things that we're short in, the things that we're weak in, and we focus on those things. Well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I don't know how to do that. And that's what we focus on instead of, what can I do? What am I good at? I am good at something. God has given me with something, and I can excel at that particular thing. No, maybe I'm not the best baseball player in the world, but, you know, but I could surely make a wonderful pie or cake for you. But, you know, it's something that you excel in and you can encourage yourself in. And and like you said, then you can encourage another person, and you can see what God sees in them, you know, that there is something that's down the line for them that they can actually do. You know, no, they may not be a straight A student. You don't have to be a straight A student to go to college. You can go to college and get a C or a B.
All you gotta be is an average student to get a degree. You just gotta get average grades to pass. And every one of us are a 10 in some area, as you were saying. Everybody's a 10. And as we're moving towards the last segment, what's the last thing that we want to make sure that we cover to make sure that our couples for destiny do have these skills that they need to be intentional about to protect their oneness?
Seek the kingdom of God together. And I'm going to save the best for last, because God's given us an awesome book to guide us and an even more awesome comforter to guide us. And when you know things are not right, we can meet on level ground at the cross. We pray together, on the word together to help the most hurtful situation. Remaining in the word just helps prevent the worst. If we remain in the word, you won't get to the worst. Faith in God and His Word, that it will not return void, goes a long way in a marriage commitment. And a commitment to God and commitment in a marriage can go along the same lines. If we work on our relationship, we can overcome so many obstacles. And we can. If we deny and cover up things that so easily beset us and don't spend time with our spouse, we can't build a strong relationship. Just as our time spent, God is paramount to our spiritual growth, time spent with our spouse is important to the growth of your marriage. So
within a oneness,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, in a oneness on relationship, that oneness consists of him and her and God. This is the threefold cord that is not easily broken, and the absence of seeking first the kingdom of God neglects a member of the oneness. And when we are strengthened in our relationship with God, we can be strengthened in our relationship with one another, because it puts a divine protection around the union that God has given the husband and the wife. And we're going to take a break here and come back and talk about what are some of the skills that a husband and a wife must initiate to, or things that we must do in order to establish the track of seeking first the kingdom of God.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at YICenter.com. That's YICenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you just turned in, you're participating in a special segment of the Voice of Destiny show called Couples for Destiny, a vision to help you be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you in your covenant relationships. And we've been talking about powerful strategies for protecting the oneness of your marriage, fighting for your marriage, and we've been talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. And a lot of times, we need it. I've seen couples, I've seen at different phases of my life and our marriage, where me and Millie, we had to figure out how to negotiate our pursuit for God as a family, and that we found that it was one thing for her to have a relationship and one with the Lord and me to have my relationship, but there was a need for our family, our marriage, to have a relationship with God. And there were things that we needed to do to feed that relationship with God that we have collectively. And so what are some of the best strategies that you've seen couples put into play to help strengthen this part of their marriage?
Like you said, each individual needs to have a relationship with God. And I like to go back to say, what does the Word say? What does the Word say about that situation? No matter what the situation is, there is something in the Word of God to address it in some way, form, or fashion. If we have the relationship with God, then the spirit of what he would want us to do and his will is there. You know, so often we might try to twist the Word to suit our own will, but the Word of God stands firm, and it tells you exactly, you know, what you can do or not do. Many times people don't agree on what the Word says, and then you may have to, you know, consult a third party. But you should be able to dig into the Word and find what God says about that situation. And it may be something as general as, you know, the husband is to love his wife as he loves himself. Let's break that down. Figure out what does that look like for us. You love yourself. You bought yourself a new car, but you don't think I need a new stove. You bought yourself a new pair of shoes, but you don't think I need two new pair of shoes. And I've heard that those comments made by, you know, husbands and wives. The husbands like certain things, and I need a new computer, I need a new iPhone, you know? And why do you need another dress? Why do you need another pair of shoes? You know, and we start and think, well, love her the way you love yourself.
I was going to say, husband and wife, find a common ground by being in the same local church, because a lot of these attitudes, they get inspired by the information we're taking in. And if we are in a common local church where both of us have a place where it's home for both of us, there is a common script that you talk about the need for the third party, you know, the mouth of the two or three witnesses. It's really essential to strengthen the agreement to pursue the kingdom of God by being in the same environment. And I know some people have seasons of a life where they may have logistics because one is in one part of their country and the other because just of where their marriage is, maybe vocation they've taken them away. But in your hometown, in your community, you should share that spiritual covering in a place where you can get a common word to be fed, because it begins to shape the paradigm that the both of you operate in terms of your approach to God. And I think that's something really, really important for a husband and wife, and also to begin to strengthen your relationship with one another by picking up spiritual projects like reading the Bible together, memorizing scripture, you know, going to conferences and getting fed a word that's unique to the walk and the track and the destiny that you're in. These things begin to affect your relationship, and then begin to set priorities about what's going to be important for you as a wife and as a husband when it comes to the spiritual matters. What level of priority that it has, and we also have to be patient with each other, because one may be more of a longer prayer and one may be a shorter prayer or a quieter prayer. We have to be patient with one another and to build intimacy with God with one another through the patience that we have with each other. We're coming down to our last minute. Is there anything else that you want to throw in or say, Juanita, about this important aspect of the marriage, seeking first the kingdom of God?
And that was a good point you made about, you know, if one is a prayer warrior and they just go in and perhaps the other doesn't, don't default your spouse for where they are or how they praise or they worship God. That is individual and a corporate item. So don't just think that your way is the only way and that they don't love God as much as you do because praise him or worship him the way you do.
Yeah, and when you have your private devotions, then, yeah, you can go as long as you want or as short as you want. You know? But when you're together, you have to find a collaborative medium for one another. Well, I tell you, it's been rich taking us through this journey, Juanita, about how to protect the oneness in our marriage. All of us need to get these practical principles together to be intentional, to protect the investment that God has given us when he allowed the two to become one. God gave license for that. It was an investment for him, and we need to protect God's investment, our union with one another that God has called husbands and wives into, because God wants to use the state of oneness in marriage to be a great witness to the world, because today it's a sign and a wonder. Many people get married and it's like a contract that was designed to be broken, but when you enter into it and live it out as a covenant that's designed to last permanently, a lifetime, a lasting promise, then this becomes a shocking witness to the world, because this is a strange and odd manifestation to the world, but it's something that they're drawn to, that God is capable to do that between a man and a woman that has the power of their own will to be able to walk in oneness together. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Remember, today is a great day, and that Voice of Destiny is available to you 24/7 on voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. And your marriage is important. We ask you to let us pray for you. Send your prayer request to info@voiceofdestiny.org so that we can pray for your marriage to be, do, and have everything that God has destined for it. God bless. Have a great one.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.